Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. 1-800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast, 800-531-3815. Michael Menzies is our guest and our good friend. First time on the show this year. He's with us on a fairly regular basis, but first time this year, and I'm excited about getting him back on the show. Mike is the president of Eastern Bank and Trust out of beautiful downtown Eastern Maryland. He is our Brain Trust resident banker, and he's our good friend. Michael, welcome back and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Jim. Happy New Year, and great to be back with you, as always.
I predicted that 2003 is going to be a good year, and here's why. I believe the first thing I predicted was that we would not go to war with Iraq. I still don't think there will be a war in Iraq, and there'll still be details to clean up, but the uncertainty will be behind us by April 1st at the latest, and we've got 9 months to just rock and roll after that. What do you think?
Well, I don't think there's going to be a war in Canada. Because normally we get here on the eastern shore of Maryland about 100,000 geese.
Yeah.
And we only have about 60,000 geese this year.
Oh,
40,000
really?
Stayed in Canada.
You think they're boycotting us?
They're not worried about any civil disobedience or military actions in Canada. And I think the geese are the crystal ball of the eastern shore of Maryland for sure.
You know, I never thought to check with the geese
when I made
my predictions.
That's
and I
right.
should have known, but I should have known that, shouldn't I?
That's right. Geese and groundhogs, they tell you what's going to happen. If you watch the television, you certainly have the emotion that something's going to happen over there.
Mm-hmm. Which that's the plan, I think. Is to make
it
sure
could
Mr.
Be.
Mr.
It
Hussein
could be. It could be the plan is to scare the hell out of them.
I think it's working, by the way.
Or to create a coup d'etat or something like
yeah.
that. But it's certainly beyond my ability to interpret. We do have customers who have packed their bags, and there's a new Sailors Relief Act. I've forgotten the exact term. Not new, but there is an act that requires banks to invites banks as well as requires banks to provide relief in terms of interest rates and payments and loan defaults and stuff like that, which we've recently put a news release out on just to help those cope with leaving their families and going
mm-hmm.
overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that if I were a betting man, I would be betting that there's going to be some conflict over there. But that's only based upon what I see on the television and what I read in the newspapers.
Yeah,
I sure hope you're right, Jim. I hope that this is the bluff of all bluffs and that we bluff them out of it.
Well, I don't think it's a bluff because a bluff, you know,
I think
it's something that we're determined to do. I just don't think we're going to have to do what a lot of people are concerned that we're going to have to do. I think it's going to be anticlimactic, I hope. But I do agree with you. The people who, I mean, I am so proud to. Of the people who have stepped up to the plate, the reservists, the National Guard, all four or five corps, and who have answered the call and have gone over, in addition to the active duty people who are so dedicated to freedom around the world. I'm so proud of them. And as you know, Mike, when civilian soldiers have to go and make and answer that call, it can really create some serious problems because many of them are not going to make as much money as they made when they were in civilian life. Their families are going to be disrupted. It creates all kinds of extra challenges. And I'm glad to know that your bank and others are stepping up to that plate with them.
Well, the community banking industry absolutely does and sees something like this as an opportunity to prove that we're really community banks.
Mm-hmm.
But with respect to 03,
can I stop you? Let me stop you. I want to ask you one more question
mm-hmm.
about that. The the assistance to the military people. What about a small business who's lost a key employee, and that set that business back? Can you extend it that far?
Absolutely. I think that community banks are in the business of looking for ways to provide solutions to those who've been challenged by some external event over which they had no control. And that occurred during Y2K, and that occurred during 9/11, and that will occur in this situation. I mean, during 9/11, the SBA came up with some superior loan programs. The nature of community banking is, what can I do to help my community?
Right. So, folks, think about that. If you're being impacted by the current buildup in wherever your folks are going, remember your community banks. Now you know another reason why I tell you that at least one of your banks needs to be a community bank. And that's absolute. I'm Jim Blasingame, 20 Till. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 Till. Karen Cortell Reisman is going to be up with us in the next show, and she's going to talk to us about how to speak with power and confidence about yourself. Then Peter Montoya is going to join us. He's going to talk about the personal branding phenomenon that's been going on, especially in the United States and around the world, and how you can get a piece of that action. That's coming up in the next hour. Michael Menzies is our guest. Mike Menzies is the president of Eastern Bank and Trust in Eastern Maryland, and we're talking about banking, the economy, and how community banks just serve their communities and their small business neighbors within an inch of their lives. And Mike, I know that when you started with me, when you started doing the show several years ago, your bank was around a $40 million bank, wasn't it?
That's right.
What is it now?
Oh, we ended up the year around $88 million.
$88 million, more than double.
More than double.
Mike, is there anything in the last three or four years, that's been the one thing that's sort of been obvious about that period of time that's caused you to grow that like that?
Every time I go on the Jim Blasingame show, we get millions of dollars of loans and deposits.
And deposits, too, especially those deposits.
That's right.
You know what I say, folks, that a community banker will fight you for a loan, but they'll kill for a deposit.
That's right. Exactly right.
Well, you know, Mike, I do what I can. And I'm so glad that I was able to help out to that degree.
there's no question that the industry continues to go through consolidation. And while from 1999 on, when the economy began the adjustment process, the consolidation has been less.
It's slowed down, hasn't it?
It's slowed
down noticeably,
sure.
To me.
Yeah, it has. There's no doubt there have been fewer mergers and acquisitions.
But now, folks, you can look at that. You can understand that yourself. Look around. You know who the community banks are in your area. And you'll notice that you know, in 95, you probably had two more community banks than you do now. But in the last 3 years or so, you probably still got all the community banks that you had in the year 2000.
Yeah, and it will speed up again when the currency or the stock values of the larger banks get to the point where they have what's called currency or stock that's of value and can begin to pay for community banks again.
Yeah.
We'll see that, I believe, down the road. But
that's the scary part to me, Mike, about banking, about doing business with any bank as a small business owner. You know that even when you're not here, I tell people to make sure they got at least two banking relationships with their small business, and make sure that at least one of them is an independent bank. But how many times have we all seen it where people would do exactly what Jim Blasingame said to do, and then after 6 months or a year or two or five or whatever, they're no longer with any community banks because their community bank was absorbed by a large bank.
Well, that does happen.
And then they got to go find another community bank.
It's the nature of the business. But my experience has been that if that occurs, usually the officers of the community bank, their accounts follow them.
Mm-hmm.
And that the larger banks acquiring, unless they acquire it with a great deal of skill and tenderness, they often downsize, lose officers who are really the relationships of the small
right.
businesses,
right.
and they continue to take care of their customers.
Well, also, they're the guys who go out and start new community banks.
That's absolutely.
And they're my heroes. And I mean that with all my heart, folks,
yeah.
Because I'll tell you, when a community bank is absorbed by a big bank, there is a honeymoon. There is a period of time when you can still operate with them on a similar, sort of like you would with a community bank. But there is going to come a time pretty soon when you're going to be right back to doing business with a big bank, and you need to go find another community bank. And, Mike, I'll tell you, the best thing, and I say this even when you're not on the air, the best thing to happen to small business owners is community banks.
Well, you know, there are lots of community banks that have been around for a long time, and
yep,
they'll still be
true.
Around for a long time. And while we're only 10 years old, we're 10 years old during a very challenging period of time, and we're doing well. And I think that's the case with many, many local community banks.
Right. What would you tell a small business owner for 2003? What would you tell them to do to tune up their relationship with their banker?
Well, there's no doubt that relationship is a driving word, and that means communicating, and that means communicating what's going on in your business, what's going on with your customer base, and what your business plan looks like. And I know we've beat this over the air for years, but there's nothing more important than the business plan. It's mm-hmm. the old adage, if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter how you get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the challenge for small business and big business, for that matter, is figuring out how to remove the peels to get to the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about small business being like a bunch of bananas, and factually, the peels are out there. The peels include the prospects of war and job losses and a sketchy stock market and state deficits and federal deficits
mm-hmm.
and
the competitors
possibility.
And big box competitors.
Yeah. The talks of a mortgage bubble and the level of consumer debt and the challenges to corporate integrity. And there are lots of peels that need to be peeled away to get back to our core economy. And I think they will be peeled away in 2003. I think that we'll go through the conclusion of the adjustment of this economic cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that adjustment is going to include adjustments in housing and in automobiles and in certain leisure industries that have been just rock and roll for the past 3 or 4 years,
mm-hmm.
notwithstanding the tightening of the economy. But when we're over that, I think we'll be on a roll big time.
Well, and you know, as tough as 2002 was, nationally we still grew at about 3%.
Yeah.
And I predicted we'll be closer to 4 in 2003. And so 2003 is going to be a good year, and it's going to set us up for a dynamite 2004. But we still got to operate those fundamentals, folks. And that's what your banker is going to love to see, is you operating with the fundamentals. Tim Till, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 7 till. Michael Menzies is our guest. Mike is the president of Eastern Bank and Trust. Mike, how's that website going?
Well, it's coming along.
Well, is it ready?
Slowly but surely.
Is it ready?
It's not totally ready, but it's there.
Yeah.
We still have some work to do on it.
Can we go there?
Yes, you can go there. You
and
can go to EastonBankandTrust.com.
Eastern Bank and Trust.
EastonBankandTrust.com. Yeah, it's all spelled out.
So, folks, the now famous Eastern Bank and Trust website is ready to go.
That's right, isn't it?
Michael, you're not supposed to make excuses. You're not supposed
friendly.
To apologize for. You just
yeah.
you're supposed to say, hey, it's up and more to come.
And more to come.
So I'm gonna have to teach you all this marketing language, Mike, because maybe if you hadn't said that, maybe somebody would get there and say, wow.
Yeah. You see, a website on the Eastern Shore is where geese go to sleep at night.
Well, check that out when you get a chance, folks. I'm sure it's a fascinating website. I myself haven't been there because I didn't know it was up. But
yeah,
anyway,
we're hiding it as best we can.
what are your banking peers, your independent community bank peers around the country telling you? I know that you talk to them because I know you're part of the management, the executive, volunteer executives in the ICBAA, the Independent Community Bankers Association of America. That, and by the way, folks, if you don't know if you don't know where an independent bank is in your area, I think you can go to ICBA.
You can go to ICBA.org and
ICBA.
Yeah, ICBA, Independent Community Bankers of America.
Okay, and
that's community banks of America.
.org, and that should give you a list of member banks who are independent community banks in your area. But Mike, what are your peers telling you about what's going on across the country? What are they seeing?
Well, as you would expect, the climate throughout the country is diverse, so we're getting diverse feedback. And I think in general, the peers are saying that last year was a good year, and that they feel good about last year, with the exception of some specific ag regions that were strictly ag banks that had a really challenging ag period.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's some regions that did really well in the Midwest with ags, and some in the East Coast that did poorly. In general, I think the community banks feel they had a really good year. In general, it was a good year for banking. And I think in general, community banks are a little bit concerned about the amount of debt that's been extended across the board relative to income.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that we should be at the end of coming to the end of this economic cycle, and that we should be picking back up, and that will allow us to deal with the levels of consumer debt that are out there. But I think community banks feel really good about communities. There's no question there has been, I don't know how to describe it, but somewhat of a shift from urban America to rural America, that rural America is seeing a continuation of the migration from urban America to suburbia to rural America.
Mm-hmm.
That's going on here in the Mid-Atlantic region, for sure.
The sprawl.
Sprawl is one word to describe it, but really it's the age wave moving on and going into retirement within 100 or 200 miles of where they lived,
mm-hmm.
and wanting to live in rural America.
Mm-hmm.
And at least we see that in our region. 9/11, I think, has increased people's awareness of rural life versus urban life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will continue.
Which is another reason why I predict the re-energizing of teleworking, telecommuting, mm-hmm. and teleworking.
Sure, and we have plenty of that. We have my 82-year-old mom on the internet every day talking to her buddies all over the place. So there's no doubt the net is growing up rapidly.
Yeah.
But I think if you said to community banks, how do you feel about last year, 2003, and your future, they would feel quite positive about where we are. I really believe that.
Well, the main thing is, folks, go talk to your banker. Find a community banker, do business with them, and talk to them. Tell them your story. You'll find an interested ear and somebody who understands what you're going through pretty darn well, and who will help you. I promise you, I don't even want to think about where I would be, Mike, in my personal situation without the independent community banks that I've worked with over the years. Michael, when you come back, I want you to talk to us about some interesting ways to capitalize our companies through community banks, not just through loans. And you're doing it, and I want you to give us an update on that next time you join us.
Be happy to.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Mazes, ladies and gentlemen, Eastern Bank and Trust, EastonBankandTrust.com. Check it out. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.